see all of you today as we continue to gather ourselves in. I want to take this opportunity to greet all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. My name is Ginger Gaines Sorelli. I am privileged to serve as the senior pastor here at Foundry United Methodist Church, where our calling is to love God, to love one another, and to change the world. And it is a blessing and privilege to welcome all of you on behalf of all of our pastors and our staff. We're so glad you're here. And we want you to know, whether you're here in our sanctuary or joining us for worship this morning through our live stream, that no matter where you've come from today, and no matter where you go when you leave this place, no matter what you believe or doubt, feel or don't feel, and no matter whom you love, you're welcome to come just as you are, to be met by our God who knows you by name, who loves you, wants to have an ever closer relationship with you. We welcome you in that spirit. And we'll enter into this time of worship with singing. I invite you to stand as you're able, and we'll sing together our opening hymn.
Satisfy everybody posting all the pictures on Facebook, and I didn't do it. I was right there, got to see them. It was awesome. So, y'all like to read? Yeah, I bet you do. You've got a book in your hand. I'm not that boring. You don't have to read in front of everybody. So, I enjoy reading. There's a book that's one of my favorites. It's called To Kill a Mockingbird. I read it every year in the month of March, which is the month I was born in. Birthday month, March. I like gift cards. But I love to read. I absolutely love to read. You know what I also enjoy? Speaking of gift cards, I love presents. I love gifts. I love to give them. I also love to receive them. So if you ever want to give me something, you can. And this morning, I have some gifts. I have one for Caroline, which I'm not sure that she is here. I have one for James. I have one for Alexander. There he is. He's not coming to me. I have one for Dimitri right here. And I have one that's for me because it's okay to give yourself gifts sometimes. Forever alone. So today is a special day because it's the day whenever we're giving these gifts. We're giving, you might not know what these are yet, but these are Bibles, spoiler alert. And they're wrapped very, very carefully with a lot of love by one of our staff members, Ms. Kirsten Pelton, who did it for me and didn't complain at all. Not a single time at all. Seriously, she didn't. But they're wrapped very specifically. And you see how they're wrapped initially? But there are multiple layers of paper on these things. What's this first bit that's wrapped? What color is this? Gold, that's right. You know, gold is one of those things that's really, really special. It's precious. Somebody gives you something that's gold. You say thank you because it was nice of them to give it to you. You wonder why they didn't give you platinum, but it's okay. But gold is something that's precious. And so we've wrapped these things in gold paper initially. And you can unwrap them with me. This is your gift. Why don't you do that? Start unwrapping it. All right. Y'all are having enough fun with this. Your parents are out there, not here. Come on, rip into it. There you go. You can use your teeth. It's all right. Let's see. I want you to look on the back side there. Yeah, there we go. All right, just go one layer, just like that. Wonderful. All right, so that initial layer is gold because gold is something precious. And the Bible is something that's precious to us. It's something that we'll keep for years and years, and we'll use it, and we'll enjoy it. And then the next layer, what color is this? It's brown. What type of paper is this? Just brown paper. It looks like a grocery sack. Very basic. And that's okay. But it's wrapped in brown paper to help us remember that the Bible's old. It's really old. I mean, it's older than I am. It's older than your parents and guardians and your grandparents and all of those people. And it's this collection of stories that started being told even before people started writing them down. And so it's this really amazing collection of stories. And then the next type of paper we have is something you might not be familiar with because you're little whippersnappers, but it's a comic book paper pulled right out of the newspaper. And that's because comics tend to be pretty enjoyable. You enjoy reading them. Doonesbury is pretty good in BC. But the Bible contains some really fun stories. It contains some crazy ones, as we'll hear later. But it also contains some stories that give us a lot of enjoyment. And they tell us about God's love for us. They tell us about Jesus wanting to have a relationship with us and how we should try to do that with others. So we're going to take that paper off of there as well. And then it comes to this plain white paper. And this plain white paper is just simply meant to help us remember that God is holy and God is pure and God calls us to be holy people as well and to share God's love with others. And then we take that piece of paper off. And what do we have? That's right. Well, you don't know what's in there. You're trying not to get a Bible. You sure it is? It is. It's a Bible. So we have this Bible. thing that we get to keep and we get to use and you get to take it to Sunday school. And all of you, whenever you hit around the third grade or so, you're going to get your own, the church is going to give you, because we love you and we want you to grow in your faith and knowledge of who God is and who you are and how you can share that with others. And so we want to ask Pastor Ginger if she'll come back and join us. And that way we can officially present these Bibles to you so that you can be able to use them and have a great time in Sunday school, which you guys will go to right after we finish with this. See, that's great. Yeah, Pastor Ginger needs your mic. All right, see how they get the Bibles, Pastor Ginger?
These are neat Bibles. I'm going to ask y'all who have just gotten your new Bibles, if you would stand. James, Joseph Addison, Dimitri McBroom, and Alexander Tucker. Are those our three?
They are. You want to stand? Yeah.
Stand on that, precious. All right, so we're so happy to get to offer these beautiful gifts that are so precious to us. These old stories, wonderful stories that remind us of God's holiness. Thank you, Tom, for that wonderful lesson. And let's together, let's share these words that you'll find in your bulletin as we rejoice with our third graders receiving their Bibles today. We rejoice in this step in your journey with God. And we pray, God, to bless you, your family, and us as you use this Holy Bible in your home, in your church school classes, and in our worship. We will learn together and grow in our love for God's Word. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thanks be to God. And I do hope that you will take these Bibles and read from them and learn from them and let them continue to bless you all the days of your life. We love you so much, and we love all of you, and can't wait till you each get your very own Bible when you get to be in third grade. All right, well, the kiddos are going to head off to Sunday school. We're going to sing together, Thy Word is a Lamp Unto My Feet. You'll find it in the red hymnal. It's on page number 601. To welcome all of you here to Foundry today. We're so glad you're here. We especially want to extend a warm greeting to our guests and our first-time visitors with us today. Our ushers are going to be coming down the aisle now with a booklet called All Things Foundry, which tells you about the life and the ministry and the opportunities to be involved here at Foundry. If you would feel comfortable raising your hand, they'll give you one, or you can pick one of those up as you leave the sanctuary today. So just let them know, flag them down if you'd like a copy today. We also want to know who all is with us today for worship. There's a black folder at the left end of your pew. So if you wouldn't mind, just take a minute to grab that and pass it down the your pew and sign in. Let us know you've been with us. And if you're a guest with us today, if you would let us know that you're here by filling out the extra pad of information that's there. It allows us to follow up with you in the days ahead. Once again, we're so glad that you're here with us. If you parked in our Colonial parking garage and are a first-time visitor, please make sure that you see our welcome desk or the front office desk, which is down this direction, and we will validate your parking for you. We also want to invite everyone up to a time of fellowship in our hall following worship. You go out the sanctuary and go that way and up the stairs, and you'll find the place where we gather for fellowship and for refreshments. You can also find an elevator further down the building on the right-hand side. There are a few things to lift up in the life of our church today. You'll find the number of announcements, of course, in the bulletin. If you are joining us online, you can click on the tab and follow along in the bulletin that is provided for you there. I want to just take a moment, one more time, to say thank you to all who made our bicentennial celebration on September the 13th such a spectacular day. Some of you have been traveling and away, and I wanted just verbally and in person to take another opportunity to say thank you so much to all who made it such an amazing day. The servant leaders just showed amazing radical hospitality. You as a congregation showed amazing radical hospitality. And on behalf of all of the pastors and staff here at Foundry, thank you so much. We could not have done what we did. We welcomed more than 1,000 people into this place on that day. Many, many guests, and so thank you. I also want to call your attention to a Bible study that started this past week here at Foundry, and it really looks like an amazing study. It is entitled Before God and Kings, and is led by one of Foundry's own, Doug Steele. The Bible study meets on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m., and there's information about that in the bulletin and online. And, of course, as always, you can call the church office to get more information. I hope that you'll take advantage of this opportunity. And we are coming up just days away from our fall great day of service. And you will find in your bulletin a full 2 pages which outlines all of the different opportunities that you and your family have, friends at all ages. There's an opportunity for everyone to participate in this fall's great day of service. So many great opportunities. And we are asking and urging and encouraging you to please sign up if you're planning to be with us. Of course, you can come at the last minute. We will welcome all comers, but it would be helpful to those who are coordinating the event if we could know how many to plan for. So if you're going to be with us, that is this coming Saturday, October the 3rd. It begins at 8, though some of the things have different times, so just pay attention to that. You can sign up in the fellowship hall after worship, or go online, or call the church office. Today, I also want to recognize a couple of folks. Today, we're happy to welcome Danique Isaac as a guest soloist, joining our wonderful lineup of Foundry soloists today. And the music in store for us today is going to be amazing. Danique, where are you? There she is. Welcome. We're so glad to have you join us. And I'm also happy today to welcome a colleague in ministry, Don Chesser, Reverend Don Chesser, is the Director of Preaching Ministries at the General Board of Discipleship in Nashville for the United Methodist Church. So I want to welcome you, Reverend Chesser. We're so glad to have you and your spouse with us. Welcome. Glad you're here with us today. And now, as we started last week, we'll be hearing from folks in our congregation as we think about the blessing of this place and how we can bless this place. And I'm going to invite Tara Holman Kawasaki to come now to share with us our stewardship moment. Tara is the chairperson of our stewardship ministry team and has served over the years in a variety of leadership roles here at Foundry. Her son, Adam, is active in our children's ministry. Her husband, Eric, is also involved in the children and family ministries. We're so glad that Tara is among us and has come to share with us today.
2 Sundays ago, I listened to Chelsea Clinton talk about her time here nearly 20 years ago. And she described experiences that are exactly like those that I hope my son will have in 12 years' time from now. And when I heard her words, it really brought home for me the constancy that is Foundry. There is something that's so solid and so loving about this place. It goes beyond the personalities of the moment and any one of our short time here. There is something here that transcends us, whether we comprehend it or not. In 2012, Eric and I were married here by Pastor Teresa, and then my son was baptized here in 2013. And I love that it's Bible Day because I remember after he was born getting a children's Bible in the mail with a note from Pastor Teresa. He absolutely loves coming here to the nursery to spend time with Miss Chasta and Miss Christina. And sometimes during the week when we're driving to daycare, and he'll say, "No, turn that way, Mommy. We have to go to church." Eric and Eric, Adam, and I all love to be here, and we love worshiping here, and we love having friends here that we can work and play with, whether that means Stead Park, or here on a service project, or in a committee meeting. When you and I come here to pray together, it's hard to escape the gravity of that prayer. The simplicity and the honesty of what we pray about, our hope to live a God-centered life based on Jesus' teachings, it's profound and it's earth-shaking and it's unchanging through all the generations that come here. It's so special to Foundry, the invitation to prayer that our wonderful pastors extend to us, that we commute from Fairfax to be with our Foundry family and to have the fellowship time here on Sundays. I support the church financially because I can freely draw spiritually from the well that all of you feel. And I sincerely hope that all of you have the same feeling about this community. This beautiful house of prayer, it's here to help you feel human and loved by God. And it's for you to let down your worship as we come here to laugh and hug and cry and pray and tremble with the Spirit and bear witness to each other. In the coming weeks, you are going to hear from different members of Foundry, and you're going to learn about the amazing love and compassion of everybody in this community. You'll hear from people that you sit next to as you come here to worship. I think you'll enjoy meeting all of these people here who love, who give, who serve in meaningful ways. We as a family feel very nourished by Foundry and by our beloved pastors. Foundry staff are truly, truly remarkable. We need this prayerful place, and we support it financially because we need all of you, too. May the peace of Christ be with you.
to a time of prayer. I want to lift up a couple of things for you and for this community. We want to continue to keep in our prayers Coy Harris, who is now in hospice care. And we want to lift up Florence Brown, who is recovering at home. We also will have a couple of joys to lift up this day. Juliana Bateman, who is a regular attendee here at Foundry, has been appointed as a local pastor to Mount Washington Aldersgate UMC. So we lift that up as a great joy for this community. And we also want to lift up Elena Dunott and Angie Shetler, who were married yesterday down in Virginia. And so we want to lift up and give thanks for the start of that new life and covenant together for them. So as we prepare our hearts and minds now, and as the choir will lead us, you are invited to bring your petitions unto God. The altar railings are open if that is how you want to bring it, but bring it either way. Let us pray.
Thank you.
most holy and loving God, your beauty surrounds us, even in the midst of worry, even in the midst of stress, even in the midst of distress, and especially in times of joy. My God, you have gathered us in. Be with us now. Break down the walls that surround our hearts. Break down the walls of power, the walls of privilege. Help us to be vulnerable for your sake, for your love's sake in this world, and for the sake of relationship with those around us. Help us to be vulnerable and risk being harmed for your name. Be with us now, Lord God. Strengthen us in this time. Take us from this place out into the world that we might create spaces of welcome, that we might create spaces of peace, that we might end homelessness, that we might end violence, that we might welcome those who are unwelcome, the immigrant, the refugee, in whatever form they present themselves. Let us be your hands and feet and put us to good work, that others might find you, your love, and your grace. And help us as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Our reading today is from the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. Let us listen for the word of God. John said to him, Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us. But Jesus said, Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly, I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose his reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies, and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves, and be at peace with one another. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
to find my breath. It was taken from me. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable to you. For you, O God, are my strength. You and you alone, O God, are our salvation. Amen. We've just journeyed through several weeks of big events. Here at Foundry and in our city and nation, we, of course, celebrated our bicentennial homecoming Sunday. What a day that was. And then immediately following, who came to town but Pope Francis himself, and the whole world has been watching. I've been observing with great interest the reactions to the Pope's words and actions. It's profound, the ways that persons from all faiths and none respond to Pope Francis's humble presence and his message of care, compassion, and service. And is it not a sad commentary on the state of the witness of the American church in the public square that people seem genuinely surprised by this most powerful Christian leader's emphasis on peace, on humility, on welcoming the stranger, on the dignity of every person, and on serving the poor and oppressed? I mean, isn't that what is at the heart of the Christian message? Why do people seem so surprised? What has happened to us? I immediately think of Martin Luther King Jr.'s words in his letter to the Birmingham jail when he wrote that the contemporary church is so often a weak, ineffectual voice. You've heard this. A voice with an uncertain sound. It is so often the arch supporter of the status quo. Well, maybe that has something to do with people's surprise. But today there are also some widely known Christian voices that perhaps benignly encourage a self-focused faith. Voices that strive never to make anyone uncomfortable. And then there are other voices all over the media, voices of so-called Christian people that are not weak or ineffectual. Rather, the position is strong and more certain than true Christian faith allows. That voice is one of condemnation, a voice of exclusion, a voice of fear and control, and at its worst, a voice of hatred. These kinds of Christian voices are the ones most associated with the church by those outside it. And then you add to that all of the various and sundry ways that you and I and other Christian folks fail in the walk your talk category, and you end up with a pretty solid and very sad answer for why so many folks seem surprised at Pope Francis's words and his way. In the gospel, the report John makes to Jesus is that the disciples had seen someone succeeding where they had failed, and so they told them to stop doing it. Now, just to make sure we all get on the same page, earlier in this chapter, the disciples couldn't cast out the demon from a boy who was brought to them. And just after that epic fail, they ironically got all tangled up in an argument over who was the greatest. together for a minute. Just let that sit for a minute. And then today we get John's comment to Jesus. Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name. And we tried to stop him because he was not with us. It's as if John's saying, well, if we couldn't do it, we're hardly going to stand by and let somebody else do it who's not even a disciple, because what would that say about us? The disciples, you see, seem to have failed to appreciate that this person, who was not formally part of the church, was calling on the name of Jesus, and had seemed somehow to tap into the power of Jesus, that this person who was not formally part of the church was on the path. That person may not even have known they were on the path, but they were on the path. They were healing people in Jesus' name. And the disciples, in their self-centeredness and in their gatekeeping and in their need to be the great and powerful ones, put a big old stumbling block in the way of that person. That person who had come to know the name of Jesus and was doing works of healing. What do you suppose folks thought about the so-called Jesus followers who said that acts of healing had to stop because the agent of healing was not in the right club? Jesus doesn't mince words in his response to John. Did you notice that? His examples are extreme. If something you are doing causes a person to close their mind or their heart to the love of God in Christ, you might as well throw yourself overboard and tie a weight to your leg. And if your hands and your feet, the agents of your action, if your hands and your feet are doing things or walking in ways that are destructive to faith, to hope, to love, then get rid of them. If your eyes, the agents of your perception, lead you to hurt, to exclude, cut them out. Jesus, friends, is not advocating self-mutilation here. Hyperbole was a common way of teaching in Jesus' day. Jesus is making a point. And he's teaching that any obstacle, any stumbling block, any scandalon, that's the Greek word, any scandalon, does that sound familiar? Scandalon. Any scandalon that trips someone up on their way to getting closer to God must be removed. Anything that's an obstacle to someone's journey, yours or anyone else's, it's got to go. Jesus isn't messing around here. Jesus is calling for an extreme makeover. So what is our particular calling? Well, of course, we have to start with ourselves. It'd be very easy for us to start thinking about how other people need to cut things off or poke things out. We need to start with ourselves. We need to consider what we are doing or what we're not doing that's getting in the way of our living a more whole, faithful, peaceful, just life. We need to think about what we are doing. What are you doing that places a stumbling block in the way of someone outside the church opening their heart or their mind to God? What are we doing or not doing that presents an obstacle to others seeing Christian faith as not only credible, but life-giving? That's where we start. Perhaps you know well the place in your own life that needs that kind of makeover, where an obstacle needs to be removed. Here at Foundry, we know there are changes that need to be made, that some things need a makeover. Last week, we reflected together on the changes that are going to be happening in our building over the next 6 to 10 months, and we particularly focused last week on the first part of that project, abatement and demolition. And we talked about the dust that rises in the midst of that, the mess and the challenge and the complications. And we also thought together about how to try to move through those things with grace and with purpose. We know, however, that the second part of a remodeling process moves into the building, the structural changes, actually building something new. And then the finishes, that's my favorite part, the finishes. The finishes are those things in a remodeling project. Anybody here ever done a remodeling project? The finishes are those things that make space safe and inviting and beautiful. And there are aspects of our current physical plant that present obstacles to the kind of radical hospitality that we want to be known for. There are parts of our current setup that fail to highlight the beauty of certain features already present in our physical space, like some of the stained glass windows that you can't fully appreciate in our current setup over in the chapel. We are choosing to make life messy for a while in order to strengthen our ability to welcome and to serve others, to remove obstacles to the work and the welcome that we're to do. And even as we address the structural changes in our building here at Foundry, we're also looking at structural changes in our programs. What are the habits and the practices that we're doing or not doing that present obstacles to folks connecting with God and with one another? How are we, just by what we do or what we offer, getting in the way? And how can we do better? These are primary questions for us as we move forward. As I pondered all of this, this passage, challenging passage, by the way, lectionary passage, by the way, forcing me to deal with something I might not have chosen to deal with otherwise. But as I pondered this passage and all of these ideas, I also was reading the Pope's speech to Congress. As I did that, I found another connection with our gospel lesson. Hear this excerpt from the Pope's speech. Now is the time for courageous actions and strategies aimed at implementing a culture of care and an integrated approach to combating poverty, restoring dignity to the excluded, and at the same time, protecting nature. We have the freedom needed to limit and direct technology, to devise intelligent ways of developing and limiting our power, and to put technology at the service of another type of progress, one which is healthier, more human, more social, more integral. Well, there's much in that just little short quote to try to take in. The connection between poverty, the dignity of those who have been excluded, and creation care, the connections between those are profound. And I am hopeful that we at Foundry will continue to draw on those insights to inform our own mission and advocacy efforts. But I must admit that the line that struck me as the most challenging at a very basic structural level is this one. We have the freedom needed to devise intelligent ways of developing and limiting our power. Developing and limiting our power. Friends, that is just downright un-American. Why develop power if you're just going to have to turn around and limit it? I mean, this is America, right? We want more power all the time. When Jesus speaks of cutting off that which leads into sin, is he not talking about limiting or curbing how we use the gifts at our disposal so that they do good and not harm? Hands and feet and eyes and the technologies that the Pope references, these are good gifts, but they're gifts that can be used for good or for ill. Jesus teaches us to use our gifts and our power in ways that build up rather than destroy. Of course, what some people argue builds up, others are convinced is absolutely destructive. I didn't say it was easy. Jesus didn't say it was easy. But friends, our call is to find what is truly life-giving, to discern that together, and then to work together to cut off those things that do harm and to develop and use technologies that heal, limiting them as needed. The idea of intentionally limiting our power for any reason is radical in our current cultural context. I mean, do you hear anybody in the political arena talking about limiting our power? Just anyway. This all brings me right back around to where I started. In the wake of Pope Francis's visit to D.C., I've been left with a nagging conviction. It's not a new conviction, but it's a renewed nagging conviction that the Christian witness and voice in our nation needs an extreme makeover. The current prevailing Christian voice and vibe is more than a stumbling block to people on the path of Christ. It is an absolute deterrent to so many. We who find ourselves in the Christian main line, we who are advocates for peace with justice in all areas of human life, advocates for the radical hospitality and the steadfast love of our God for all people, for the engagement of the biblical texts with all the faculties of tradition, reason, and experience at our disposal. We who are advocates for the cultivation of faith community that calls forth and values the gifts of all God's diverse children. We who advocate for the amazing and saving grace of God and for the care of all living creatures and an absolute commitment to the poor and oppressed. Those of us who find ourselves in that long tradition. We simply must find a way to raise our voices and to change the trajectory in the public square. I know that we are part of a denomination that has yet to embrace the full inclusion of LGBTQ persons, and that in and of itself is a deterrent. But friends, the Pope is himself part of a denomination with similar issues. Not to mention some others. And the Pope creates an aura of welcoming, safe, and beautiful space. His presence and his message are inviting, even if you don't agree with everything he says or with everything that his church teaches. I'm not suggesting that Foundry is equal to the Pope. He's, you know, the Pope. But I do want to ask the question and ask it seriously. How can we at Foundry lead in removing from the public square the stumbling blocks of bad theology, exclusionary practices, and a perverted vision of Christianity that would suggest that Jesus is in favor of unchecked power, even to the point of destruction? How can we make not only Foundry, but the Christian faith? Do I have a big vision? Hello. How can we make the Christian faith inviting, safe, and beautiful for those who long for love and for hope and for the healing that the church can offer? We are certainly trying to do our part within the walls of Foundry. We're even changing our walls. And I would hope that all of us who are part of Foundry Church, that each one of us tries to walk our talk. That we try to live in the world as walking, talking reflections of the faith that we profess so that our lives are not an obstacle to others. I would hope that all of us do everything we can to remove the obstacles of faith for ourselves and for others, and that we would take every opportunity that we have to invite those outside the church to come and experience the life in Christ that we share here. If you haven't invited someone recently, what are you waiting for? It's about our witness, friends. It's about our witness. In the midst of all that we can do individually, I'm still left with this nagging question, a question for which I don't yet have the full answer. How can we at Foundry truly make an impact on the airwaves and Twitter feeds and all the tributaries of information and influence that run throughout our land, so that people will hear not hatred, not self-centeredness, not gatekeeping, not judgment, but that rather they will hear the truth, which is that Christ came to show us God's love for all and to reveal God's loving and reconciling purpose for the whole creation. How can we participate in that extreme makeover? I don't know if we can, but if we can, there's a chance we can. I pray that you and I will be willing to go under the knife, whatever that might mean. I just took us past noon, and the choir's going to take us further, but I promise you it's worth it. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Let's be God's people. Amen.
As the choir leads us, the ushers will come forward. We have our opportunity to make our offerings to God. You are invited to give, knowing that giving goes to support the mission and ministry of this church. Things like Great Day of Service coming up, our outreach into the community, our service for the community and our city. Give as you are able, as the choir leads us.
just never know what's going to happen at Foundry. Why, you got to just keep showing up, you know? There's always a new blessing, and we're so blessed here. And we're going to now sing our closing hymn, and it's this wonderful prayer asking for God to guide us. And we certainly know we need God's guidance as we pilgrim through this land together and pray that God will show us the way. So let's stand together and sing together this wonderful hymn of our church. Power. Go with God. Alleluia and amen.